You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Just over 2 weeks ago, a catastrophic failure broke out in the Yuba County foothills. A penstock pipe ruptured at the new Colgate powerhouse just south of New Bullard's Bar Reservoir, flooding the facility and forcing workers to evacuate. The breach caused significant damage and triggered a mudslide, sweeping dirt and oily debris into the North Yuba River, home to juvenile spring and fall run Chinook and Steelhead. We're going to get an update on the cleanup and the environmental response. To begin, we are joined by Willie Whittlesey, the general manager of the Yuba Water Agency, which operates the new Colgate Powerhouse. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, to start off, Willie, what is the job of the Yuba Water Agency? Who do you serve?
Well, the Yuba Water Agency was created in 1959 to serve the people of Yuba County, primarily for flood risk reduction and water supply. And we own and operate New Bullard's Bar Dam and Reservoir and also Colgate Powerhouse, among other facilities. Mm.
Do you have customers, like residential water or power customers?
We do not have residential water or power or any other retail customers. We do have agricultural customers in Yuba County. Mm.
Okay, so we're going to talk a lot about a penstock pipe. It may be new for a lot of people. So for those who aren't familiar with the term, what is a penstock pipe?
So a penstock pipe is a pipe that delivers water to some type of facility that does work. And in modern days, the most common use of a penstock pipe is for hydroelectric generation. And in our case, our penstock moves water from our reservoir, New Bullard's Bar, about 5 miles through a tunnel, and then about a mile through the penstock pipe down the hill to our powerhouse, Colgate Powerhouse. Mm. It's about 14 feet in diameter, so it's a very large pipe.
And you mentioned it's for power generation. What power and who benefits from it?
Yeah, we generate enough power at Colgate Powerhouse for about 300,000 to 400,000 homes in Northern California. And we sell our energy into the CAISO grid on a wholesale basis.
Mm. What caused the rupture on February 13th?
Well, it is way too early to know the direct cause. We obviously know the location of the cause. We all saw that on KCRA3 Friday, the evening of the incident. But it is a complex system, and we don't know specifically what caused the incident itself. We're committed to a root cause analysis. We are currently looking to find an engineering team to do a forensic analysis and come up with the direct cause or the root cause, so that when we do rebuild, we don't have that flaw, whatever it may have been, rebuilt into our system. And I also think that the industry is curious of, you know, what caused this abnormal situation.
What was happening at the time of the rupture?
So we had just done about 4.5 months of maintenance. So we had the tunnel drained, we had the penstock drained, and we were working on the powerhouse for about 4.5 months of significant maintenance. And we were in the process of what we call restoration or return to service. What does that mean? That means we were filling the penstock and we were filling the tunnel. We have filling procedures. We were following those procedures and we were near full. I think that evening we were planning to do a final inspection of the entire system. And about 3 p.m. that afternoon is when the rupture occurred.
Has something like this of this scale happened before?
To Yuba Water Agency, no. We've never experienced anything like this. This is an absolute abnormality. However, in the hydroelectric industry, this has happened throughout the country in the past.
Was anyone injured?
Well, yes, we did have injuries. We had about 10 people working at the Colgate Powerhouse, which is downhill of the rupture site, both Yuba Water Agency staff and contractors. Five of those folks made their way out on foot and were safe, and about five had to be extracted using a helicopter. And there was one significant injury. We had a contractor working there that was injured and had to be flown out with a helicopter. He was taken to a local hospital. But the best news of this entire incident is that late last week, he returned home to recover from his injuries.
Okay, that's great to hear. When it comes to the powerhouse, what is the current state of New Colgate?
So we were able to get about a week after the incident, we were able to hike into New Colgate Powerhouse and just do an initial inspection. And, you know, honestly, it's not as bad as we thought it was. The top area of the powerhouse is covered in sediment and debris from the landslides and erosion. But inside the powerhouse and the generators themselves, they're not inundated with mud like you might think. There is some seepage water coming in, and it is humid inside there, but it's in a lot better shape than we anticipated. But I will be very clear, there is a lot of work to return that powerhouse to normal operations.
When do you think it will reopen and resume normal operations?
Well, if I had that answer, I'd be able to answer it with everyone that's been asking me that the last couple of weeks. The reality is until we know the root cause, we can't even come up with a plan for repair. We will work on the powerhouse itself, dig it out, dry it out, reestablish road access, and do that type of work. But it will be several months until we know what the root cause is, and it'll be several months when we come up for an engineering repair plan, and then probably several months to actually implement that repair plan. So we're looking at a year to 2 years, best case scenario.
Wow. Okay. So then what are the broader impacts that you're concerned about? I mean, you mentioned that this does generate electricity, that is a source of revenue. I mean, as the water agency, what are your overarching concerns for the next potentially year or two?
Yeah, well, this absolutely will change Yuba Water Agency's financial position. We do have reserves, and we do have plans to use those reserves for recovery. But not having the revenue created from hydroelectric generation at Colgate Powerhouse, we're probably missing out about on 80% of our normal annual revenue. So it will have a major impact on our financial position. And in addition to that, Colgate, because of its size, it's a significant source of generation in Northern California. So, the CAISO grid will see a lack of the megawatts that we put out at least this summer and likely of summer of 2027.
So potentially an 80% drop in revenue. I mean, that for any company, that's huge. I mean, I know that you're only in the initial weeks of this. What conversations are you having to weather this? I mean, how many employees do you have? I mean, it seems like a pretty overarching concern for the coming year or two.
Yeah, so in regards to employees, we need our employees now more than ever. I mean, we have to rebuild the system. We still have other powerhouses and dams that we operate, so we're in continuous operation. But the impact will be significant, and it will take time to recover from this. So, we do have other sources of revenue. We have those other generators going, but I think we'll have to draw on our reserves, and we have a reserves policy that is robust and we will draw from. But the reality is our financial position has changed, and we're going to have to look very closely at any discretionary spending we have, for Yuba Water Agency and in our community.
Can the legislature or the state step in and help?
Yeah, we are looking into those options. We don't have direct answers to those questions, but we will be looking into outside sources of revenue to help us, get back up on our feet and get up and running.
There was also oil and debris that was spilled into the Yuba River. What kind of contamination concerns are there?
Well, fortunately, we got on it quickly. So the incident happened on a Friday. Saturday morning, we had staff and environmental contractors on the surface of the Army Corps' Engelbright Reservoir. The Army Corps' Engelbright Reservoir is about a mile downstream of our Colgate generators, and anything that washed down the hillside or was collected and washed into the river at Colgate Powerhouse made its way to Engelbright Reservoir. And we were able to contain that oily debris on the surface of Engelbright Reservoir in a relatively small area. It was a little bit challenging because a few days after the incident, we had that major cold storm that came through. And then the following week, we had another warm storm that came through. So once we got that debris contained with what we call oil booms, we hardened the oil booms with what we call hard booms or log booms. And we were able to keep that debris contained in an isolated area on the surface of Engelbright Reservoir. And I think it was the Wednesday after the incident, we had a team cleaning that up with a big excavator on a barge with a big bucket, basically scooping the material out of the reservoir into what looked like large garbage bins and hauling them to a certified facility.
Is the dam in the reservoir safe?
As far as New Bullards Bar Dam, our dam, it is safe. It is 5 miles upstream of the impact site. It wasn't impacted, so it is safe and under normal operation. And other than the cleanup efforts on Engelbright Reservoir, an Army Corps dam, and the fact that it is currently closed due to this incident, The dam is safe, and water is conveyed through that dam as normal.
So at this time, Cal OSHA has launched an investigation into the Yuba Water Agency along with the security company following the rupture. What is your level of concern that there could be a workplace safety violation?
Well, I'll say we have met with Cal OSHA, and we will cooperate with Cal OSHA and be completely transparent on what had transpired with this incident. I have no concerns about a safety violation. The bottom line is I'm just happy that everyone was accounted for, and the one contractor that was injured is at home recovering at this point.
Finally, I mean, there's a lot of recreation around New Bullard's Bar Reservoir. If people want to head up there during this time, what advice do you have for them?
Well, as far as New Bullard's Bar goes, it's currently filling with the spring snowmelt, so we'll have a normal recreation season there. As far as the Army Corps' Engelbreit Reservoir, once we in the next week or so, we should be near completion of that cleanup. I don't think there's going to be an impact this summer season for recreation at Engelbreit. And as far as the Lower Yuba River downstream, I don't think there's going to be an impact there either. But I do want to address a situation we had on the Lower Yuba River briefly. The incident caused a power outage. That power outage caused our what we call our Narrows powerhouses. They're on the downstream end of the Army Corps' Engelbreit Dam. It caused them to trip offline, basically disconnect from the grid. And when that happens, our operator that is stationed 24/7 in the Colgate powerhouse would remotely open a valve, a bypass valve, to supplement flow into the Lower Yuba River. In this case, under this incident, that operator was evacuating Colgate powerhouse to save himself, so he wasn't able to respond to the units tripping offline and then open that bypass valve. So there was about 2 hours where the flow in the Lower Yuba River did decrease. Once we figured out what was going on, we immediately dispatched an operator to a backup control room, and we opened that valve remotely from there. And within 2 hours, we restored flow in the Lower Yuba River. However, there was some salmon mortality in the Lower Yuba River caused by that flow deviation or flow fluctuation in the Lower Yuba River.
Yes, and we're going to have Circle on in just a moment. Willie, thank you for joining us during this time.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Willie Whittlesey is the general manager of the Yuba Water Agency. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're learning about the response and impact of a penstock pipe breach at the new Colgate powerhouse in Yuba County just over 2 weeks ago. We're going to learn more about the environmental impact of this disaster, and I want to bring in Aaron Zettler Mann. He's the executive director of the South Yuba River Citizens League, or CIRCLE, which protects the Yuba River watershed and responded to the disaster as well. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Aaron, this penstock rupture, as I just mentioned, it happened just over 2 weeks ago. What was CIRCLE's immediate response like? What is your role in this?
Well, my immediate response was to reach out to Willie and just check in with him, Yuba Water Agency, and kind of, I mean, that human touch is really important in these kinds of things. We see this very much as a tragic disaster. As soon as I'd had that touch and we'd connected very briefly, he was obviously quite busy at the time, was putting things into place with my team about, okay, what kind of water quality monitoring are we positioned to do? Who's going to go out and do it? Yuba Water Agency was very quick on their end to respond with people out the very next day. We know as the Yuba River Waterkeeper of the Waterkeeper Alliance, an organization that has been doing water quality monitoring throughout the Yuba for more than 25 years, that having additional data, having people out, having more information is really important. We're very much a science-driven organization. And so for us, it was really the highest priority is like, okay, let's get to the impacted site. And let's compare that data to other reaches of the Yuba watershed that aren't necessarily impacted on this. And let's look at just all of the different variables that we can. So we focused initially on dissolved oxygen, pH, temperature, and then turbidity is sort of the four quick, easy things to be monitoring consistently. And as broad sweeps, how healthy is a river system, especially in terms of water quality. very, very quickly, after a couple of days, we were confident that most of those variables, so just dissolved oxygen, pH, temperature, there weren't any concerns. Again, we've been doing this kind of water quality monitoring for 25 years, and so everything's within normal. We stopped turbidity, not surprisingly, with this kind of a big sort of landslide. Debris flow was quite elevated, and so we continued to monitor that because we know it has immediate term and long term environmental impacts.
And I know you have a staff that responds. Did you personally see this disaster yourself? I'm just wondering if you could help us visualize the gravity of it.
Yeah, unfortunately, these things happen, and unfortunately, they never happen during sort of normal business hours. So, I was personally out Saturday, and then every day the following week during that snowstorm, because it was so important to be out collecting data in the rain, in the wet, in the snow to really see how this material was going to move. My background is in rivers and channel form, and so knowing the kind of process, this big landslide, I knew that capturing mid-storm data was important. And really getting out to it, what we saw was a very, very muddy river. You kind of get out and you think of the Yuba, even during the winter, it's a pretty clear stream, characteristic of kind of higher elevation, a lot of granite in the upper watershed, generally pretty heavily forested. We haven't seen major fire, and so you just don't see a lot of sediment in the river. And so when it's kind of brown, it stands out. And especially driving over the South Yuba, which was unimpacted, and seeing that river, and then seeing, a dark kind of chocolate milk river was stark and really noticeable. And then where we were sampling, one of the places that we looked at is where the Yuba and the South Yuba come together, right at the head of Engelbright Reservoir, and seeing that mixing really kind of sent home the idea of what a major impact this event had.
As Willie mentioned, the water level did drop for a couple hours below Engelbright Dam, and that resulted in a fish kill of salmon fry along the lower Yuba River. How significant is that incident? Because salmon spawn a lot of fry, but also we have talked about this on countless occasions on Insight. I mean, there are really large efforts in the state for salmon recovery. So I guess how big of a impact is this?
I think there is certainly an emotional gut punch, and it's going to be really hard to know exactly what kind of an impact this has for, about 4 years, about one life cycle. And so it's hard, and especially considering how much work Circle and Yuba Water Agency, how much time and energy and money we have put in together to restoration in the lower Yuba for these juveniles, to have this impact, of hundreds, probably thousands of juveniles that were, again, stranded in rock and gravel. This was not and is not a water quality issue. It's hard. It's hard for all of us because we have together put so much effort into restoring. We saw record returns this year, highest numbers in a decade kind of thing. And so to feel like our projects were working and moving the needle some, it's been pretty tough, I think. And we'll see it, in 4 years when the adults come back.
Yeah. I mean, there was also environmental damage caused by the release of the water itself from the penstock onto the hillside. How has that impacted the terrain?
I haven't been out there to see it. From the photos that I've seen, and certainly hearing Willie's reports, it's a major landslide or a major debris flow, and so that's going to have impacts on the channel. That's going to have impacts on turbidity. Long term, we suspect that there will be long term impacts on the benthic microinvertebrates, so the things that the resident fish, the bugs that they eat. There will likely be impacts that linger for, many, many months. We're trying to figure out ways to continue to monitor that over the coming months, and so sort of have that picture. But right now, what we've seen, what you see in the academic literature, and what you sort of see from other places where we've We've studied landslides and rivers. There are impacts, and they do tend to linger for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, now comes that long road of recovery. The Yuba Water Agency also gave Circle $300,000 for a salmon habitat project in the wake of this disaster. How are you going to use that funding? Where are your top priorities in the weeks and months ahead?
So that funding is part of a project that we've been working on together for the last 3 or 4 years. So that's an upper long bar restoration project. It's going to be in the lower Yuba below Engelbreit, in the sort of anadromous reach where the ocean going salmon come to spawn and rear. And so the plan is to continue that. It's building on a project that we completed a few years ago in the lower portion of the long bar. So that money will go there. You know, we will continue to push this forward and push those restoration projects forward. We're constantly kind of in this process of identifying and funding and designing restoration projects in the lower Yuba, and are, you know, really grateful for YWA that they were able to continue to meet that match to help fund that project. And, you know, how that looks in the future, we don't know, but it doesn't change our interest or shared interest in getting this good work done, because even with the setbacks, we are still making progress. Monitoring data still suggests that these restoration projects are being effective. Mm.
This penstock pipe rupture is a first for Yuba Water Agency, the gravity of it, as Willie just explained in our conversation. I guess with your context, I mean, has something like this, anything on this level, happened before along the Yuba River?
Nothing similar that I'm aware of. I mean, as an organization, we started 40 years ago to oppose construction of dams in the South Yuba, and we are this year celebrating the 25th anniversary of the South Yuba being a state wild and scenic river. And so in some ways, it feels like in that context, a little bit of an ounce of prevention has saved the, you know, risk of this, you know, kind of needed pound of cure. But no, fortunately, we are in a watershed that has yet to experience catastrophic wildfire in recent memory. We have yet to have some of the, you know, challenges that we've seen in other watersheds around hydropower. This feels like a big and kind of new experience for Circle as well, although something that we've been reasonably well poised to respond to.
Aaron, thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Aaron Zettler-Mann is the executive director of the South Yuba River Citizens League, or CIRCLE. We've been talking about last month's penstock pipe rupture at the new Colgate Powerhouse in Yuba County. Still ahead, from Steve Inskeep to A. Martinez and Cap Radio's very own Devin Yamanaka, public radio hosts love a good pun. Coming up, we'll be talking to the wordplay experts behind Sacramento's long-running comedy show, Capital Punishment. Get it? You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.